My dad loved comforting people all over the world with his messages from God's Word. Welcome to CWH and our series on a few men of the Bible where we can take lessons from their lives. Let's join Pastor Salem delivering the message, Moses, a man whose body was hidden by God.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we really have a good service today, a sermon about Moses. And we never get tired of hearing about Moses. And so just call your friends and tell them to tune us in. We'll have a good time worshiping the Lord around the throne of grace. And but first of all, I want to just read some of our letters that we get. I want to thank you for writing, and they're just so wonderful. And then we can just share them with you, and you can see where other people are at and what they're thinking. We have a letter from Gresham, Oregon. And this man writes, 81 years have passed since I was born. I accepted Christ at the age of 10. I didn't think much about it. I led a Christian life until I went into the Air Force at 17. They were good old days in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Then one afternoon, I was asked to go overseas, went to Japan as a communication specialist. I fell apart then and sort of left God. The Holy Spirit I could feel, but not very much. During the past 20 years, I really repented. Taught Sunday school for 15 years. I can't do that anymore. I have COPD and can't leave the house very much. So this here's a dear man, and he's drifted away from the Lord, and he's come back to Jesus, and you can do that. I don't care. Maybe you accepted Jesus, and you went into great sin. You sinned against light. But if you come back to Jesus, he'll open his arms. He'll receive you and forgive your sins, and you can start again walking with Jesus. Here's a letter from Fargo, North Dakota. I just love this. This is an elderly lady. I think she's in her 80s. And she says, I live in an assisted living home in Fargo. This fall, I started a small business from my room. I croquet stocking caps, pot holders, and walker bags. So I'm sending you my tithe to use as you wish. I pray for you each day. God is so good. I just think, God bless her. Here she is. And a lot of these, sometimes we get past 65, and then we think we just retire and sit in the rocking chair until we die. Well, here she is. She's got her own business going. And, you're never too old. As long as you're here, God can use you. And I just think about Grandma Moses. She gave up crocheting when she was 76 years old, and because of her arthritis. But then she took up painting, and she became world famous for primitive style paintings, and had a great demand for her works. Grandma Moses continued to paint, you know how long, till she is 101. And so she can't hardly walk or do anything, but she can paint. And so if you can just move, you can witness for Jesus. You can tell others about the Lord. And if you're able-bodied, be up serving Jesus through the church or somewhere. We're never to stop serving Jesus. And now here's a letter that's really different. It's from Aladdin, Wyoming. And this is from a lady who is a rancher, and I know her. And she's a good one. As a matter of fact, she's making money while some of these men ranchers around her are losing money and going broke. And she's making that ranch go. Well, here she writes this. Dear Pastor Salem, $10 for 95 years equals $950. Your age is going to break me. I'm a ranch lady who has watched you for years and know you are a want-to-be bull rider. Prison Bibles are important. Thank you for helping all, including prisoners. Well, this is just wonderful. And here she is. I know her out there in Wyoming. Beautiful country. And she's running that ranch just like a charm. But she says here that I'm a want-to-be bull rider. But she's mistaken there, because I don't want to be on no bull. I'm going to tell you, I'm a sheep herder. Sheep herders don't have nothing to do with wild bulls, I can tell you that right now. But it's just so nice of her to write. One more that I want to share. Morton Grove, Illinois. Today I said the sinner's prayer with Pastor Salem. Would you please send me the new Christian material the pastor mentioned? And so I prayed over the telephone with this man, and he had prayed to accept Jesus. He prayed the sinner's prayer. You know what the sinner's prayer is? It's just that, Jerry, you pray, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you, and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can, and thank you, Jesus. Just in your own words, do that. And then you write to us, and we'll send you literature, and I'll give you the address at the close of the message today. So get your pencil and paper ready, because we're going to study about Moses. Now, Moses really is an outstanding man. He spoke to God face to face, and that sets him apart from all other men. It is a distinction that makes him immortal. Moses was many things. He was a deliverer. He was a leader. He was a lawgiver. He was a prophet of Israel. And he just stood out for the Lord. And his life can be divided into three sections. The first section was 40 years in Egypt. The next section was 40 years in the Arabian wilderness. And then the last 40 years was leading Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. So this is a story of Moses. You know this story, how that Pharaoh's daughter comes to the river and takes him out, and then becomes trained by Pharaoh's daughter and trained in all of the things of Egypt. But when he became of age, he says, no, I am not an Egyptian, I'm a Hebrew. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, we're told this: by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. And so he becomes a Hebrew again. And then he performs some miracles and plagues. And then finally the Pharaoh allows the children of Israel to leave Egypt. And they're going to leave the land and go off into this wilderness and to another land. And they come to the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea. And they're on the shores of the sea. And in the meantime, Pharaoh's changed his mind. And he's not going to let him go. And he's coming with his chariot and his horses. And he's going to kill every man and take every woman home as a hostage, a slave. And so there they are, and God sees them all coming, and Moses sees the Egyptians coming, and this is what God says: use your rod, hold it out over the water, and the sea will open up a path before you, and all the people of Israel will walk through on dry ground. And that's precisely what they did. Now the Egyptians are following, and so the children of Israel pass through, and the Egyptians come right through the water also, through that dry path, and right when they're in the middle of it, the wheels of the chariots goes off, and the water closes, and the whole Egyptian army is destroyed and lost. From the Red Sea then, the children of Israel go through the wilderness, and eventually they come to Mount Sinai. And here at Mount Sinai, Moses meets God. Moses went up into the mountain. He met God face to face, we are told. And in that meeting, the Ten Commandments were given by God. Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights getting his instructions. And eventually they come in. And that's why we put so much stock in the teachings of the Word of God, of the Ten Commandments. They come from the hand of God. And would to God we could put them back in the schools and the public places and get the world back to the Ten Commandments. It would change in a time where every generation would be a better generation instead of a worse generation. But anyway, then they promise, they go on, and they finally come then to a place in the land of Moab, and they're going to come to the Jordan River, and they're going to cross over the Jordan River into the promised land. But Moses is not allowed to have this wonderful experience, because years before he had sinned at a place called Meribah. He failed to give honor to God, and he struck the rock twice. And you never struck the rock that stands for Christ twice. And so God says, because of that, you can never enter the promised land. You can lead them to the border, but you can't pass over. And Moses, he didn't argue with God. He didn't get angry with God. He bowed his head and submitted to God. He was a great servant of the Lord, and he kept God in the proper place. And then God tells Moses to go up into Mount Nebo to a peak called Pisgah. And from that vantage point, he can view the promised land. He can't go in, but he can see it. And then St. Jude tells us he's going to bury him. God is going to bury Moses on that mount. And St. Jude says that there was a battle over the body of Moses between the Archangel Michael and the devil. They were fighting over the body of Moses, and you know why? Because the devil wanted that so that people would worship that body. And so God intervenes, and God has the last word. But just think of that. Moses was so important that heaven and hell fought over his body. But as is the case, God is victorious. And then we read, in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, in an unknown sepulcher, Moses is buried. And there you have the story of the great and powerful Moses. Now let's take some lessons from his life. The first thing we see in this life of Moses is the providence of God, the hand of God. According to the law of Pharaoh, every male child must be put to death. But his parents refused to do it. And instead, they put him down in a little boat on the River Nile and put it among the reeds of the river. And just think of this. Here comes Pharaoh's daughter with her maidens and her assistants, and she's going to bathe in the river. And of all that river, that huge Nile River, and the reeds, 1,000,000,000 different reeds, and one little boat, and that's just where Pharaoh's daughter went, and she saw that little box there floating in the water, and she has them bring that to her, and they bring that little box to her, and they open it up, and it's a baby, Moses, and just when they open that up, Moses cries. And Pharaoh's daughter had a heart, a woman's heart, and she took him home and trained him and he became her son. Now, the pagans would say, that's just good luck. But the Christians will say, that's the hand of God. The providence of God, and it's still with us and it's still here. And that's why we can say with St. Paul that when he said, We know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And so that is the hand of God, the providence of God, and we see it in Moses' life. But there comes a day then when Moses comes of age, and they're going to make him Pharaoh of the land. But Moses' mother, Jochebed, she has told Moses as a little boy Pharaoh's daughter let her keep him and nurse the child until he was a little of age. And then she took him. And the mother had told that little boy Moses, don't you ever forget, you're going to be with the Egyptians and you're going to see the Egyptian God, but there's only one God, and that's Jehovah, and you are a Hebrew, and don't you ever forget it. And so we're told that when Moses came of age in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had recompense under the recompense of the reward. And so it is by Moses here. Moses chooses God over the world. He could have been rich, 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 but you remember later on, Jesus would say, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. You know, it's either God or the world. It's either God, and a lot of times it's in money, but sometimes it's in prestige and power and pleasure, all of these other things. And Moses turned it down to be numbered with the people of God, the slaves. And he did it by faith because he believed they were the people of God. And that call will come to all of us, my friends. You're going to have to make a choice between God or the world. It seems as though Joshua is calling us today. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so this calls for faith of God. If we're going to serve God, give him all that we have. Never turn back, never look back. And then it is also this faith in that Moses, that enabled Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the powerful Egypt. Egypt was a powerful nation, and they had a lot of them. They were a strong nation, and that other nations feared them. And so he had to just by faith turn his back on all of that and instead go with the people of God, the slaves of God. And so then he has to lead them out of Egypt, and he takes them into the wilderness, and they come to the borders of the promised land. But they don't have the faith. And God says, because of the faith, you're wandering in the wilderness 40 years. And Moses was there. He served them. He was always serving them. He was serving God. And he was in the will of God. And that's what we have to do. It may cost us the suffering, may cost us sorrow. Oh my God, think what they're doing to the persecuted church today. Those people are following God, and they're telling them, deny God or have your head cut off. And they will say, Jesus is Lord. And they cut their heads off. My God, that isn't 2,000 years ago. That's yesterday or the day before. 2016, more people died for Jesus Christ than at any other time of record. So you mean we need to suffer for the Lord. It cost Moses to follow to the Lord. He had to pay a great price. And he was tempted because there were the pleasures of sin. We're told that Moses refused the pleasures of sin. And if Wiersbe writes about it, he says the phrase pleasures of sin doesn't refer only to lust and other gross sins. The phrase describes a way of life that we today would call successful, like position, prestige, power, wealth, freedom from problems. Well, Moses set all these aside because he says that he knows that these are fleeting things. They're just for a season. There is pleasure in sin for a season. But at the end of the season, there's heartache and heartbreak. And God help us all if we live like that. So Moses set aside these fleeting, short-lived pleasures of sin, and he followed God. And that's what God is calling to you today, and he's calling me. Jesus talked about it, didn't he? Taking up the cross. He talked about denying self. He talked about following him. None of these things are easy. Sometimes these things are hard. As a matter of fact, it may cost you everything you have. Everything I have, it may cost your home and your family, your wife, your children. It may cost your life, but we must put God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will follow. Not everybody can do that. You remember the story of Moses here. He gives it all the treasures of Egypt so he can be numbered with the slaves and suffer for the people of God. There was a man that came to Jesus. He was a rich young ruler. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to sell all you have and give to the poor and follow me. And we read that the man went away very sorrowful. I'm going to tell you, when you turn your back on Jesus Christ and you choose something else, you'll be sorry for it. Moses gave up all the riches to follow God. This rich young ruler wouldn't do it. But you know what I like to think? I like to think that this rich young ruler got home and he got to thinking, I saw the Master. I saw the Messiah. I had a calling in my heart. I steward, sell everything I have. I'm going to follow the Nazarene. I just wonder if he did that. I hope so. When we get to heaven, we'll find out. So Moses then, well, another thing about Moses is that his choice was all his own. When he became of age, he then made that choice. It wasn't that anybody made him do it, but because of his own self, his own volition. When he came of age, he chose to suffer with the people of God. You know that's the way God is. We're going to give the invitation. And the invitation is this. If you've never accepted Jesus, you need to come to Jesus and ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins and be washed of your sins and cleansed of your sins. To some of you that are Christians, we're calling you to give all that you have to Christ, to follow him with your whole heart. Now you can say yes and you can say no. When God calls you and he wants to come into your heart, Jesus wants to come to your heart, you can say, no, sir. You can spit in his face. You can take his name in vain. You ever do that? And they curse God and they turn. God didn't make us as a little robot that he would push this and that and we would do this. He didn't make us a puppet on a string that he would pull these lines. He made us as free moral agents. And if I want to follow Jesus Christ, I can say, yes, I want to follow you with my whole heart, dear God. Or I can say, I don't want anything to do with you, Lord. But I'm going to tell you, the day is going to come when you'll be sad because there's a heaven and there's a hell. And when you reject Jesus Christ, there's only one place, and that's going to be hell, eternal hell, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you go there, it's your own choice because you're getting a choice right now. You can just accept Jesus Christ and have everlasting life right now. And the ball is in your court. You can't give it to your wife or you can't give it to your children or your parents or anybody else. It's just you and God alone. What will you do with Jesus? And Joshua says, I'm going to take Jesus as far as I'm concerned. As me, God is going to be the head of my home. And so he was. And so just take that wonderful Jesus and you'll have a glorious ending. Look what happened with Moses. He never saw the promised land. But then when you come to the New Testament, here's Peter, James, and John. And they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it's called that because Jesus was transfigured before them. And yet he's transfigured before them. And where there are two people there, Moses and Elijah. And there's Moses and he's standing in the promised land. Oh, dear God. And when we trust Jesus Christ and we follow him and walk with him, there's going to be a day when we're going to meet Jesus. We're going to stand in the promised land. We're going to stand in the streets of gold in heaven. We're going to enter those pearly gates. Those beauty pearly gates are going to swing open because we're washed in the blood of the Lamb and we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you have to have Jesus. And so someday we're going to see him and be in that great crowd with Moses and Elijah and all the rest. But I want to ask you a question. How are you ready to meet God? Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ? You remember Jesus said, you must be born again. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And how are you born again? He says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. That's being born again into the kingdom, into the body of Christ. As many as received him. How do you receive Jesus? How do you receive anybody? If somebody knocks on your door, you open the door and say, come in. And you say that to Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and I'll follow you the best I can. You won't be perfect. You'll struggle and fail. 85 years I walk with the Lord, and I sinned every day with thoughts and different things, and things I should do and didn't do. And I'll never be perfect till I meet Jesus face to face. But I don't have to be perfect because I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And when you accept Jesus and you make that prayer, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Maybe you want to. Billy Graham says, maybe if you want to confess the sins, name them. It's just between you and God. And then just say, Jesus, please come into my heart. And I'll follow you the best I can and thank him and then tell somebody what you did. Now, if you did that, you write to us. And we want to send you literature. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift, you can do that because we're dependent upon your gifts. We have no other source of income except you people. And so you pray, should I help these people? And if you say yes, God says yes. If he says no, then don't. If he says yes, say how much? And then follow through because we need your prayers. We need your gifts. And we'd like to send you literature. And we have a little book, little Bible study every month called The New Song, New Song. I'm going to repeat that address for those people on shortwave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Now I'm going to pray. And in our prayer today, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iran. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we got to preach the gospel. Thank you that we could all worship around the throne of grace. Thank you for the multitudes that are praying right now. Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me for Christ's sake. And thank you for them. But, Lord, we're praying for those who know you and drifted away that they'll come back. And we're praying for your people, that in Lord, that some of them are young people and they're caught up in some sin. They're caught up in some habit. They don't know which way to turn. Help them to turn to you, dear Jesus. And the those who are on beds of sickness and the aged and the shut-ins, and some of them are lonely and they don't know which way to turn and there's nobody to help them. But you will help them. You'll be with them. And you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. And then we pray for our Christian friends and brothers and sisters in Iran, that, Lord, you'll comfort their hearts. We don't pray for those who have been martyred because they're in your presence, but we pray for those left behind, especially the children, little children. Oh, my God, help them and just be close to them. I know you will. And help us all to love you and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to thank you all for worshiping with us. Be sure to send us that gift. We got it on the screen there. Got to have your help. Got to have your prayers. And then, the Lord willing, next week we'll be back and we're going to be talking about Samuel, godly Samuel. Oh boy, if he doesn't bless your heart, you're a hard one to deal with, I'll tell you. But give us a try and tell your friends about our service. Then all together, all over the world, we gather at the feet of Jesus. God loves you. Christian Worship Hour loves you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.